whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Joining me right now, my first guest of the night as we switch gears and talk a little baseball. It is my guy, I've had him on before, Jim Duquette, former MLB GM for the Mets and the Orioles. He's an analyst. You probably see him on SNY. You've heard him on MLB Network, seen him pretty much everywhere. If you're a baseball fan, you know who Jim Duquette is. Welcome in, Jim.
Keith, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Watching a Pittsburgh Duke basketball game. And what I told everybody earlier in the show is, like, all of this negative talk about the Jets and Giants, like, we can't do it all night. I'm a baseball fan. I'm starting to get the itch. It's 2025 now. We're a week into the new year. In a month, we're going to be talking about pitchers and catchers. And that's my first question for you. As a former GM, you know, what's the planning like? What's the timeline like? Especially when you get to this point, right? The holidays are past, and we know there's a little bit of a slowdown. But now you have about a month until you got to ship down to Florida, and there's so much that has to go on to be ready for spring training. Like, what's this time like as far as signing players and filling out the roster?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot to go on, right? I mean, I think the Dodgers and the Cubs, they play, I believe they open in Japan. February 10th is their reporting day. So we're almost a month away. I think Mets speaking or any team for that matter, if you still have holes on your roster, I mean, that's the number one focus and you've got a couple of other things like tender contracts coming up on Thursday. You're trying to deal with the arbitration eligible guys. So there's always something in the baseball calendar, but then your eyes are focused on spring training. You might have some, depending on your staff, you might have some meetings, kind of having spring training meetings about the first couple of days of spring training and what those look like, just some of the workouts, because those change. You want to tweak them over from year to year. So there's always something along those lines. And then, what we try to do, and a lot of teams still do, they'll put together kind of a development plan, a strength and weakness plan of a lot of their players, because there's a lot more development that goes on at the major league level. And you put that together and talk to your coaches about how you're going to attack that, even though a lot of these guys are competing for opening.
You're breaking up a little bit, Paulie. Jim, can you still hear me?
Did I lose you? Sorry about that. You there?
Yeah, we still got you. We lost you for a minute. Okay. You're getting me pumped up for baseball. I'm ready. I wish I was part of a baseball team. I wish I was a part of all of that, because as a fan, we just sit here and wait for the warm stove to heat up and get breaking news. And, today we heard Justin Verlander is signed with the Giants. That's a small move. But, baseball's free agency, it's a long, drawn-out thing. There's so many people that talk about, it's not like the NFL. It's not like, the NBA with a free agency frenzy. And a lot of times the big-ticket guys, we've seen them not sign until late February, March, and I'm looking at Pete Alonso like, this is a guy that I don't think he's going to get this, but it was floated out there that Scott Boras wants him to get the Cecil Fielder deal for $214 million over 9 years or something ridiculous like that. But this is a guy that is waiting to get paid, and I think the wait is going to be a little bit longer for Pete, and I feel like he's going to have to just fold. He's going to have to give in. I think there's an offer out there from the Mets that's significantly less than where they were during last season. And, you can't hate the player, hate the game. It's just where we are. How do you feel about Pete Alonso returning to the Mets and what the price tag will be?
Well, Keith, I would love to see that. I think it's the perfect fit, especially when you look at, the other available teams that are looking for, offensive help, first base help in particular, and are willing to spend money. The one team that concerns me that's still out there that wants to spend money are the Giants. And I'm not so sure Pete would find that a good destination spot, especially if it was a short-term deal, with an opt-out clause like we saw with Cody Bellinger a couple years ago. And, we saw it with Blake Snell and Matt Chapman with the Giants, last year. So I think all of that being said, you know, the Giants want to spend money. They're looking to get better, and they could use some offensive help, especially at either first base or DH. So you can't rule out those kind of sneaky sleeper teams. That's the concern I have for the Mets. I think at the end of the day, you know, David Stearns and Steve Cohen are going to make sure that he stays there. I think it's kind of a stare down right now, it looks like and sounds like. And, you know, it takes another, you know, competitive offer or two before you're willing to move the offer up a little bit. I think in the end, I've seen those same rumors, the high end side. I've also seen the rumors on the low end side, a 3-year deal of $90 million. I mean, right now, I don't see that being a possibility either. But the later this goes, you know, Pete might have to readjust his sights a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the stare down is between Pete Alonso and Scott Boras. I don't think the Mets are looking hard. I think the Mets are like, here's where we are. This is what we can do. This is where we, you know, value you at. We, you know, we appreciate you, but we're not really budging right now because we don't have to. And I think Pete has got to be looking at Scott Boras and the years and the money that he got for Juan Soto and, you know, going to switch representation to Boras Corp and thinking about, hey, man, like, this is my big payday. What do you think about the Anaheim Angels? I've joked about how, you know, we watch games in the Big A and you see Scott Boras behind home plate and, you know, the Angels usually spend money. And that's another thing, too, with the timing, right? If Pete Alonso is to uproot his life from the East Coast and go to the Giants or the Angels, like, the decision has to be made now. I look at guys like Christian Walker. He made his decision very quickly. Even a Gleyber Torres, like, they got wrapped up by the holidays, and I think that's because they have family and they're going to have to move. What do you think about Pete potentially going to Anaheim and playing for the Angels?
Well, I think if a team is willing to pay him the type of money that he's looking for, you know, Anaheim in Southern California is not a bad place to go. But, you know, watching that team over the last couple, we know that they're struggling. They had a franchise worse in terms of the number of losses last year. And yeah, their general manager and their owner, they're looking to get better, but a lot of that's been health related stuff too, right? Trout spent a lot of time on the IL, so was Anthony Rendon. So, you know, Pete, I don't think would want to go there because they don't have a chance to win, but he's also you don't hire Scott Boras unless you're trying to maximize your contract as much as possible. And if that, listen, it wasn't that long ago, though, you know, you got to go back to the Machado years and the Harper when they first signed their deals in Philly and San Diego. Those guys waited. They had a chance to sign early in January. They decided to go back out and renegotiate, and then they found suitors to give them the type of money they were looking for. So I don't doubt anything that Scott Boras does these days, you know, in terms of getting with the number that they're looking for. So I think Pete, you know, Pete hasn't been with Scott all that long, but I know this, that, you know, you're not going to Scott Boras unless you're at the end of the day going to get the most money. So if that market crashes at some point, they'll have to readjust their asking prices here, and Pete may not be happy at the end of the day. But I'm not doubting Boras, because this guy more times than not ends up with getting the money that he's looking for.
We're on the phone right now with Jim Duquette, former Mets GM and MLB analyst. You know, when I look at Pete, I just look at him as a lifetime Met. I look at him as a guy that can put up numbers where maybe they retire too. His number. And now there's a lot of talk about David Wright, and we know how Steve Cohen has really done his due diligence here with Keith Hernandez and Doc and Darryl, and now we're getting the David Wright ceremony for, you know, the Mets fans. What can they expect in July when they honor one of their favorites all time?
You know what? I agree with you on Pete being an all-time Met. I would love to see it. I think it's a good comparison with David Wright, even though I don't think Pete's going to be the captain of the New York Mets anytime. You know, I think that, you know, in terms of being the all-time power hitter, home run hitter for the Mets, I mean, he has a chance to be the number one all-time if he stays in New York. And I think the other thing that, I mean, you know this from being in New York, and we've seen this multiple times in both clubhouses and both ballparks, and New York isn't for everybody, right? And Pete's one guy who has proven that he, you know, thrives in New York. You can't underestimate that. So I'm hope, and I don't think this is the case. I don't think the Mets are taking that, you know, lightly. And, you know, I think from Pete's side of things, you know, I think that should be a part of that, of the consideration. I think ownership, you know, would recognize that too. So that's why I feel like this, you know, and listen, going further than that, and you've said this, I've heard you say this too, but hey, the Mets need Pete just as much as Pete needs them, I think. So, you know, for me, I'd love to see this get done. Obviously, we'd love to see it sooner rather than later, and I think that it'll happen that way.
Yeah, I expect him to be a Met. I think when all things are considered, if the money isn't that much greater in California, he's going to stay here. And now this new era of the Mets, they have Juan Soto. He can hit behind Juan Soto. The team is going to be better with Juan Soto, and I expect him to see him standing out there when David Wright gets honored. And, like, I feel like the Met fans really need that. I feel like this whole Steve Cohen, David Stearns era, a lot of it is about rebranding, but also pride and history. And, you know, losing Pete after losing DeGrom, I feel like you're starting to shed some of those, like, core Mets that fans mm-hmm. love so much.
Yeah, well, and I don't, I mean, I agree with you on that. I'd hate to see it. I would love, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to Pete and the homegrown aspect of it, him in the lineup, I mean, you want to talk about a guy, you know, a couple years ago, he drove in almost 100 or over 120 runs. You know, that offense was on fire that year. I guess it was 22 now. With Soto in the lineup and the way the top of the lineup looks, and then even the protection that Pete would have, hitting behind Soto, whoever it is behind him, whether it turns out to be Nimmo or Francisco Alvarez, because I think he's going to have a bounce back year, or whoever it is, maybe it's a DH, maybe it's Vientos. Pete Alonso is poised to have a big year, and I think that you can't underestimate the quality of the lineup with him in it. So, you know, I agree. I think Pete, you know, would understands that too, you know, so that's where that dollar amount, you know, there has to be some give and take on both sides here. And, you know, listen, Pete, we've talked a lot about this on SNY. A lot of the other options, good options for Pete, have dried up, you know, with mm-hmm. other signings and trades. So he's running out of good ones to sign, especially teams that are willing to pay the kind of money that he was originally looking for.
Yeah, I feel like Pete's not going to want to take a short-term deal, but it is what it is. I think this has played out perfectly for the Mets. He had a down year last year, so his value isn't that high, but I feel like his value is higher to the Mets because of what he did in the postseason and mm-hmm. the prospect of him hitting behind Juan Soto. I think eventually we're just going to come to a point where we get the breaking news that Pete Alonso's a Met, but then I also think about, you know, his own ego and his own feelings from, you know, everything we heard that they gave Juan Soto to now even news coming out that they're looking at other players like a Tanner right. Scott, like an Alex Verdugo. It's like, hey, how is there, you know, chirping about you guys looking to sign some other guys, even like a Jesse Winker. I read an article about Jerks and Profar. So obviously they're looking for another outfielder potentially and adding right. to their bullpen. Do you think those moves happen before Pete because they're, you know, obviously not as expensive?
Right. Well, you know, I think that when you kind of look at the free agency and the way it has gone, and you know, there's a ton of relievers out on the market, and Scott is one of the best. He might be the best available right now. You know, I think, you know, they're looking at 3-year deals. They're looking at 10, 11, 12, could be even more than that, $1 million per year. They're expensive. That's why they've been sitting there for now. But yeah, I do think there's a time and place for the relief market to start to get hot, and you're starting to see some of those names, you know, a little bit more and more. So, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Tanner Scott signed before Pete, but, you know, in the same breath, you know, I think, you know, Pete's, you know, his representation has to, I think, understand that too, that, hey, listen, the longer this goes, the more uncomfortable it gets for everybody. So I don't know. These are hard to predict, Scott, Boris. You know, whenever you see rumors out there, yes, does Scott tend to lay some of that information out there? Maybe it's not him personally, but somebody within their organization. Of course, even though he'll deny it, you know, that number, $200 million, I'd be stunned if Pete got near that at this point in the wintertime.
Yeah, I think that's off the table. Switching gears here with the Yankees, as I mentioned, Alex Verdugo, who played for the Yankees last year, and you mentioned that, you know, playing in New York, not everybody can play in New York. It's, you know, a big thing when you're looking at evaluating players. You hope that they'll be able to handle it. I think the Mets have used a formula where, hey, if they can play for the Yankees, they might be able to get it done over here as well. Marcus Stroman, a guy who played for the Mets and the Yankees and is a New Yorker, the Yankees are shopping him. What do you think the market is for Marcus Stroman? I think the Yankees obviously are just trying to offload that money so they can do some other things.
Yeah, I think that they are. I mean, they'd like to, you know, they obviously have a lot of pitching. You never can have enough, but they have enough quality. I don't think Marcus is going to be all that happy if he is pitching out of the bullpen. He's still shown that he could start. So I understand it. Now, this is the time of the year where, you know, you start to look at that aspect of it and see if you can get a team to that's short in starting pitching to have interest in Stroman. He's still a quality, I'd say, more of a number four type starter now. You know, and we'll see if the Yankees can do that. They, as you know, they need help at either second or third base. It doesn't seem like they're going to extend their payroll too much more. They've done a pretty good job of it, in my opinion. So, you know, if they're able to save some money and then you know, use it for an upgrade in either of those positions, I think that's a smart idea there by the Yankees. So, you know, we'll wait and see. I think there should be plenty of suitors, even if it's not, you know, a winning team for you know, like you talked about the Angels. The Angels need pitching all the time. You know, that would be a really good fit, and they're still willing to take on some money.
What do you think about Luis Arraez? That's the hot name in Yankee land, and there's pushback from some Yankee fans that say, hey, he's not athletic, he's not a good base runner, he's not a great fielder, and that's what the Yankees are trying to get away from. And then there's also Yankee fans, which I'm in this camp, I'm like, listen, you need a leadoff hitter. And a guy can bat 400 for stretches of the season, like, you'll be able to overcome some of the other things. You're able to overcome Gleyber Torres. And I know that A.J. Preller and Brian Cashman have a relationship. And I remember Luis Arraez getting traded so early in the season last year, which kind of made me say, like, hey, like, this guy could have been had. How come the Yankees didn't get him last year? What do you think about him and his trade market?
Well, so a lot of this with San Diego, you know, you saw some stuff going on there. They've got some ownership issues with the passing of their previous owner, right? Peter Seidler, and his wife now has gotten involved with trust up there. So, you know, there's some debate, and I think that it's true that they are going to have to try to save some money. And Arraez is one of those guys. Is, you know, he's been on the move now a couple of years in a row. He's also led the league in hitting a couple years in a row. So that's what he does. The guy can flat out hit, and, you know, I think it would be an excellent fit. Yeah, defensively, he's not as strong, but, you know, Torres had his struggles, you know, occasionally, as you know, with the Yankees at second base. And I think personally he would be an upgrade for them in that spot, and I think they could overcome the defensive limitations that Arraez has, even if it was a late inning replacement. So I would be all for it if they could do it. That would definitely improve their offense. And, you know, Arraez is one of those guys. I mean, he was a huge part of San Diego winning last year. So, you know, he's that type of player that you like, as long as you understand he's not he is limited. He doesn't steal bases. He gets on base mostly because he's such a good hitter. He's a great bat-to-ball contact type of offensive player. He can lead off, like you mentioned. And, you know, defensively, you know, you won't be happy on some nights. He might cost you a game or two, but he'll win you more than he loses you.
Last thing for you, Jim, as a former GM, right? You have plans laid out. You have things that you want to do, but you're competing against the entire league, and free agents can sign where they want to go, so sometimes plans change. The Yankees' plan A was to bring back Juan Soto, and the Mets were able to get him. But what do you think about Brian Cashman and his ability to pivot and go out there and sign Max Fried, trade for Devin Williams, sending Nestor Cortez and Caleb Durbin to Milwaukee, sign Paul Goldschmidt, you know, trade for Fernando Cruz and send the backup catcher, Jose Trevino, over there, mm-hmm. trade Cody Poteet, who really just started like three or four games for the Yankees, and get Cody Bellinger. Like, what do you think yeah. about Brian Cashman's ability to pivot, which wouldn't have been able to happen if they signed Juan Soto?
I mean, I think they've had the best winter of anybody in the sport. I really do. I think, you know, the money that they spent, notwithstanding, let's put that aside and just look at the holes that they have filled. You know, they got to the World Series and was a flawed team. I think this, you could argue, is a better, well-rounded team. Listen, Soto is one of the best hitters, not just in season, but in the postseason. So they'll miss his bat. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I think they, if Brian Cashman has done many times when he evaluates his team around the middle of the summer and he looks and sees where they're short, he's going to go out and fill in, you know, via the trade market. Maybe there's a, you know, a guy from their system that comes up and helps out. So like, they're going to be very good. I think they're the team to beat in the American League East. And I think that the Mets are the team to beat, one of the teams to beat in the National League. So I'm looking forward to it. I know you are too, of a really fun baseball season and summer in New York, especially with those two teams.
Yes, sir. Jim, you're the man. We appreciate your time and insight. Thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, Keith, man. Good to be back with you. Thanks. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Jim Duquette, former GM of the Mets and Baltimore Orioles, MLB analyst on MLB Network Radio, Sirius XM. You guys see him all the time on SNY. Man, I had to ask him that last question about the Yankees just to remind some of y'all. Reminder, this wouldn't have been able to happen without Juan Soto's departure. And I think everybody in baseball is saying, hey, the Yankees have had a hell of a winter. They're also not done. And like Jim just reminded you, you can improve your team at the trade deadline. Brian Cashman will do that. And if we were able to get to the World Series last year, yes, we can do it again. We can get right back.
Yeah, I think the Yankee, I think if you ask most Yankee fans, they'd probably say they'd signing Juan Soto would have been the first choice because he's that good, obviously. But what Brian Cashman has done, repeatedly doing previously, just shutting up everyone who says he has a lifetime contract, and maybe he does. But you know what? Look what he's doing. He's earned the lifetime contract.
Yeah, he's pretty good at his job.
He's really good at his job. And by the way, if the Yankees ever let him go in the near future, he will be able to get a job seconds after. Because
there
any
is no,
team would
there is
hire
no
him.
World where he's fired. So that's why I remember telling all y'all, you're wasting your time with the Fire Cashman night and the Fire Cashman t-shirts. There is no world where the Yankees fire him. And there is no world where he goes and does this for another team. No. His legacy is the New York Yankees.
Absolutely. Cashman gets the guys that he thinks the Yankees need to actually win games. He doesn't play, though. He can't perform on the field.
Right.
That's up to the professionals that are making millions upon millions
of
dollars to actually perform.
In this town, there is just a different bar for the Yankees. The Yankees are always good. They're always in the postseason. Even when they lose the MVP and they go 82-80, they're still two games above 500. And then they bounce back the next year by going to the World Series. They lose Juan Soto after losing the World Series. It's hard to overcome. But I'm so excited to see a new squad. It's a new team. There are going to be a few new good players.